Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast with your hosts,
Abby
and Bree.
Shoot.
Ooh, I want to be Bree.
Okay. Thanks. That's flattering.
I do. Just so everyone knows, this is the Greatest Anatomy podcast where we are going deep on each episode. Currently, we're in season 4, episode 5, but there will be spoilers.
Yeah. So
of all of the episodes, of like everything.
Yeah. So if you have never seen Grey's Anatomy before, probably go back to the pilot.
Yeah.
Actually start watching Grey's Anatomy.
If you've never seen the musical episode, don't listen. If you've never...
Sean just grabbed the whiskey again. He's drinking
whiskey. Whole 30 is over.
Whiskey Coke Zeros.
If you've never seen Derek get shot, don't...
If you've never seen George get hit by a bus.
If you've never seen... what's another weird thing that happens?
Arizona lose her leg.
Yeah, exactly. Then if you don't know who Arizona is, maybe you should start watching the show. So anyways,
you've never seen Christina get strangled by Owen.
Oh God.
That one.
Whenever the ceiling fan above us.
Yeah, or an icicle penetrate her.
Her stabbing her.
Just, yeah, to, be- just to be clear. It's not some porn weird.
No. That would hurt. Ow. I can't think about it. I can't stop thinking about it. Also, if you want to co-host because you have things to say and you don't want to be the ghost of the podcast, as I mentioned last week.
That was really funny.
Wasn't that the funniest thing you've ever heard?
Probably.
I can't take credit for it. I can't take credit for it, but it feels really true. Then you should head to patreon.com/theoncallroom and become an intern, resident, or an attending. If you're an attending, which is $10 a month, you can co-host. We don't have one this week, but soon.
No.
But also, if you want to represent us everywhere you go and take pictures of yourself and represent us, buy a t-shirt or a tank top.
Yeah, and at us.
Yeah, at us.
Yeah.
At the On Call Room pod.
Yeah, and tag us and shit and take photos.
You can do that at, again, on the Patreon page. There's a whole informational section about the t-shirt and tank top order. I think you're going to have, I'm going to say like mid-October towards the, it's probably coming soon to the due date.
Coming soon.
It will say done if you have missed the date.
Yeah.
But this is maybe a one-time purchase and we're really excited about it. So check them out. You can also check them out on the Facebook page at the On Call Room Listener Squad.
And if you want to be in the Listener Squad, you have to go to Patreon and become a
patron.
It's
a full fucking circle.
Yeah. So really the point of all of this is support the podcast.
Yep.
Thank you to all of you who already do. You're the reason why this podcast runs every week. And we're super grateful to all of you.
We are.
So we're going to just kind of talk about some shit, but I have a really random short story that I want to just tell you.
I don't even know what it is.
Our bank for our work just recently started this thing. Now when we when anyone deposits cash, they have to give their ID over.
Is this the Bank of the Aliens?
Yeah, it's the Bank of the Aliens.
Okay.
Aliens. It's Huntington. But so they, what's it called when money is fake?
Fraud?
Yeah, or counterfeit.
Fraudulent? Oh, counterfeit.
I think that's why they started doing, they have to, swipe your ID or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I do the deposits for work, but since I'm doing them, it's my ID. I always bring, a bank bag.
Yeah.
And, I put my receipts in the bank bag when I leave, and I tossed my ID in there. And then, that was a couple days ago. And then today, someone paid with cash, and... my coworker was like, oh, we don't have any pennies left in our cash box. And I was like, well, let me go check the one in our safe, to see if we had any in there. And I open it up and I open the bank bag and my driver's license was in there. I have been driving around for days without my driver's license because I tossed it in the bank bag. So it also made me think, well, wow, I haven't bought alcohol in the past couple of days, which is crazy.
How sad would you be if you'd waited in that goddamn cauliflower line
and then didn't
have your ID?
Oh, it's just terrible.
Because a bar might not card you, but
but a
grocery store.
Absolutely would. Yeah. So, but thank God I found it because can you, I remember doing it once I saw it, but like if I had been somewhere and been like, I can't find my ID, I don't think I would have been able to retrace it back to that.
Yeah.
I would have found it at some point, you know?
It's better you never knew it was lost.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh my God, that's so really stupid. I do shit like that all the time.
I do that with my credit card in a pair of leggings because I'll get gas after working out. And then I put it in the little pocket and then I put that those in the wash. And it's like usually a couple days and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
there it is. Or in the winter when you have coats.
Coats, man. It's the best though. This happened to me last year when I put on a winter coat for the beginning of the season. I found $20 in the pocket.
It's a perfect
thing. Like, that's never happened to me. And I was like, this is amazing. So pleased.
Hi, Marge.
Oh, it's about that time. My cat, guys.
It's 9:50. I was just looking at my clock. She's a little late.
She's a little late today. It's because I'm not on the couch. But my cat, she'll come out when I come home and she'll eat her dinner. And then she goes back for a little napsy. And then it's usually about 9 o'clock. She comes out and she sits on my lap. She's a little late tonight, but it's because I'm not watching TV like I do every other night. Sit on my ass.
You've had to spend a lot of time with me lately. Sunday night, Monday night, tonight.
Are we spending any more time together this week? I would hope so.
I don't know because the next episode that we record will be after I go to Honduras on Sunday for a week.
Which is very exciting.
I always do this. I have a wedding Saturday. It's a long wedding day. It's like a 10, maybe 11 hour day. And then my flight leaves at 6 a.m. on Sunday.
Ew. Is the wedding in town?
It's in Grand Rapids, but I'm going to have to back up my photos, which usually doesn't get done until like 1:30. It's going to be miserable. Like I'm going to get 3 or 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah, and probably even less because you'll be anxious. Like, do you ever do that when you know you have to wake up early and so you just can't sleep? That's me every Sunday night.
Yeah, so it's going to be horrible and I'm just, I guess, prepared for it.
Yeah, you just
but we get there and then it's like, let's jump right into hanging out with the kids. Like, we're only there 5 days. So, like, the day we get there is a full day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a little rough day.
Although that does sound ideal to me because then, you know, going to a new place. I know you've been there before, but, like, it's hard to sleep in not your bed.
Right,
so you'll just be exhausted. So you'll just pass out. And then you get through that first night, and so it's not a big deal.
Yep. Yes.
Are they hours behind or anything?
No, they're exact same time. So there's no time change, which is nice. Marge is currently contemplating jumping on my new jean jacket.
Oh, of course she is.
She better not. I should move it. Anyways.
So we looked at her. So she's like, I'm just cleaning my paws. Don't worry. And we'll look away and she'll be laying on it in a minute.
Like in a tiny little ball.
Yeah. That's just
my favorite new moment of the day, speaking of animals, is when I wake up first and Jake's still sleeping and I get up and I go.
How late does he sleep in?
Well, he's been on a schedule now of going to bed at like 1 a.m. and sleeping till like 11.
That's not great.
No. So I wake up and I don't know why I do this. I go in the living room to see McCoy, like to say good morning. And I used to like
let him. He doesn't sleep with you?
Well, I used to let him out and give him his meds, but that was because Jake was already gone for work. And so someone had to, but now I'm like, he's fine. Jake can let him out while I'm working out kind of thing. So, because McCoy's not the kind of dog that like wants to be let out. Like usually I have to drag him out in the morning.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I walk out there and he's on the couch. I'm like, good morning. And he literally looks like someone that like, he like opens his eyes like, like I woke him up. Like he does not, he's like a human.
Yeah, that's so adorable.
It's really cute. Maybe I'll film it tomorrow. It's really funny when I do it.
So. He's like a little man.
Yeah.
Marge has been like very much, she was, when we first moved here, she was very into the guest room and sleeping on that bed. She sleeps on our bed like every night now. And like during the day, like that's her little hangout.
Aw.
Which is nice. I don't know what happened or changed in that room that she like wants to be in there now, but it's
probably a ghost.
Oh my God.
And then there was a noise.
Right outside. When you said that, something fucking fell outside. That sucks for that person. But why the fuck would you just say that? Speaking of
just
ghosts.
Just to mess with you.
It's coming in hot to spooky time. Spooky time.
What was that Halloween movie that we... Okay, let's
Halloween
talk Halloween. Yeah. Okay, so one of my top Halloween moments. Not like the best Halloween, because I feel like it was just like the three of us and Nicolette. But we... You came over.
I was trying to do
I know.
Halloween.
And we watched... I ignored it. Like a bitch. We watched Halloween Town before we went out to the bar.
Did we really?
Yeah.
At Sigsby?
No, no, no. At my house. You, me, and Jake. It was like two Halloweens ago, and we literally did like nothing.
Dude, I remember that.
Okay, here's my Halloween memories with you, because I'm sure there's more, but the first one that comes to mind is after we completed that stupid diet at Fit Body Boot Camp.
No, my first one is us at Michigan State, and I was a cat, and you have a photo of me like on a digital camera of me peeing.
Oh, okay, sorry, yeah. Also, that's the one when I puked in the bushes the next day. I was a lifeguard for Halloween.
Yeah. Because then we went
tailgating.
We went tailgating, and I felt like pretty okay. But you, like,
you and I woke up. We were staying in my apartment, but for some reason, you and I were in an air mattress together in the living room. Remember, we woke up to my grandparents and my mom
Hello.
At the door.
Yeah,
like we're here, and I. It was like I was still drunk.
Yeah.
I remember I put on this fucking green hat. It was cold. And we went tailgating. And I puked, like, on the main road.
In a bush.
Yeah, in a bush. And then I did feel better. Like,
yeah.
But that was a horrible day.
I remember, like, that Halloween, I wore this terrible wig. And also, we went to this house party. And you, like, disappeared. And
I have no memory what we did.
I just, like, hung out with this dude I met at the house party, and we became beer pong partners. I'd like never played, and we were like,
were you crushing it?
Like, we had like teams and teams. I think we were on like our fifth or sixth team that we were playing, and you were like, it's time to go. And I was like, I am fucking winning beer pong.
I was probably
right now.
Like, I'm gonna die.
Yeah,
it's
and
time
you were
to
like,
go.
We have to leave, and I was super sad.
We should, for the Instagram post this week, post the photo, that group photo of
us.
Oh,
yeah. That's terrible.
I was a lifeguard. It was my actual job, and I didn't know what to wear, so I was a lifeguard again, which was dumb because, like, I put sunscreen on my nose, but it just, like, blended in.
Yep.
What did I even wear? A swimsuit? I can't imagine.
I was always
the most unsexy. Like, okay, guys, picture this. Freshman year of college, your first Halloween where you don't have to go home. Like, you can go out to a party and be sexy. Me and my roommates don't know how, and we're too afraid. We haven't come into our own yet. And we are fucking crayons. And then at the last minute, we like panic because we're like, everyone is being like hot things. Mm-hmm. And so the two of them, theirs is a little more embarrassing. They like basically wore button down shirts, buttoned low so their bra would show, and were like sexy secretaries.
Oh,
which
no.
is just dumb. And I was a bumblebee. I wore leggings and a t-shirt that I spray painted.
I think that's great.
And I like wore a little bit extra makeup.
That's perfect.
But like, do you remember all those girls? And like, I didn't necessarily want to be them, but I wanted to be like considered as hot as they were.
The thing is, I never had a body to do
Same.
That.
Same. I think that's my missed out.
1 year, this was my second year at Michigan State. I don't think we hung out. But I went out twice and I was a cat again, but I wore like leggings and a leotard that time, and I had lost like a ton of weight. Like I was actually like probably in a really unhealthy, like,
yeah.
Like my body wasn't doing well, but yeah. I was feeling good about my body, you know, but I was actually like internally dying. And so then the next night I wanted to be the tooth fairy. And I do not know how to sew. Never have sewn in my life. I still don't know. I would like to learn. But I just bought a whole bunch of tulle. And I was like, I'm going to just sew a tutu. That's not a thing. like hand sew. Not even like with the sewing machine.
Yeah.
So I had this super sparkly sequins leotard that a friend let me borrow. And then like fuchsia purple tights. And tried to sew this tutu that just didn't work. So I ended up just walking around in a leotard all night. But my body looked, I was like, I feel great. But like people are like, what are you? And I was like, I don't know. I'm in a leotard. Like, isn't this what Halloween is, you know?
Let's go through the years of what we were then. Because a few I can remember. I was then the most basic. When I always think of a costume like the day before in which it's the worst. I was a Where's Waldo. There's 1,000 of those. I am embarrassed.
That's okay.
I was, the first year, freshman year again, so Jake and I just started dating. And I went to celebrate at his school and I didn't know anyone. You know, this was my time to like, because it was like a new relationship. To like, you know, impress his friends, whatever. What do I go as? I go as Jake.
That's funny.
I literally wore his like baggy ass gym shorts, a huge t-shirt, and a backwards hat.
I think that's hilarious.
And Jake was a penguin and we dirty danced.
Like, oh my god, you said you never freak dance.
Oh, I guess I did. That was
You like grind, like get real dirty?
Yeah.
You were like, Jake was getting dirty with himself.
That's he was also dressed as a penguin.
That's... You said you never freak dance.
I forgot and I about swore that. That was such a good moment. I remember that moment for the long. It was like real exciting.
Did he have a bee?
Oh, I'm sure.
A bee. But he was also a bee as a pee.
He was in a full body penguin suit.
And you were grinding on him.
Yeah.
And you were like, "Get me that penguin."
Yeah. Yep.
You want to know what my favorite
Halloween costume? Third grade.
No, that was fifth grade.
Okay.
And that was a really good one. Thank you very much. I will post that one as well because it's really funny. I have this terrible double chin and way too much blush bronzer on that my mom let me put on. No, it was when I'd moved to Grand Rapids at this point and my friend had this short white dress.
This is a good one.
And she was like, you should be Marilyn Monroe. It was like very Marilyn Monroe dress, yeah. Like a halter, very deep V. But I am just not that person. Like, yeah. I was like, I don't want to be something so classic as that. So what did I do? I fucking stuffed my nylons with scarves, and I was a shotgun wedding. So I was a pregnant bride. I put, like, a pack of, like, someone smokes in my bra hanging out, and I wore tennis shoes and white tights and this, like, short dress. And... This was like 7 years ago or something, 6 or 7 years ago, and John showed up to this party, and we have all of these photos of us together, like him standing behind me holding my belly, and he was not really, I don't think he was dressed for Halloween, he was like working or something, we were friends at the time, so I was like, oh, you're my baby daddy, and we named our baby Destiny Scarves. And now we're dating. So we have all these photos of us, like, being friends at a Halloween party with him holding my fake belly.
So if you ever have a baby, his name will be Destiny Scarves.
Destiny Scarves. And it was Destiny Scarves because I had scarves stuffed in my belly. It made it look very realistic. Yeah. Okay, I had a veil on, too.
I also think the photo you should post with this is the one where you're a zombie and it looks like you don't have a face.
Oh, yeah.
That is a horrifying photo.
That was a great year, too. I was, like, I always wanted to be a zombie and I had, like, really good zombie makeup.
But, like, the photo is also really bad quality.
So oh, yeah, it's terrible.
You don't have a face. It haunted me for a while and you're just sitting.
Also, actually, the first time I ever met Johnny K was Halloween. Oh. He came over... Oh my God, he came over and Annie, shout out Annie, was Captain Hook and I was Peter Pan. He once again didn't have...
Do you think I've met him?
Probably. He didn't have a costume, so we made him be Shmi. Oh, but he just wore a bandana.
Yeah.
And, oh yeah, he's totally a Shmi. And, but there's like this hilarious photo where like Annie and I are in the front of it and John's like in the background giving a really real creepy look. I'm going to post that one too. It's our first photo ever together like 9 years ago.
Wow.
And now we're dating. And he probably won't be a partner costume with me.
Well, because we can't. Him and I might be a partner one because you guys are a partner one.
Yeah. What are you being?
I don't know. I need help, Brie, because...
I don't think that it's actually going to happen because it's going to be such a hard costume to do.
I think it's so easy.
How?
You look like you just need to wear your hair crimpy and wear like a witch outfit. The others need to commit. Yours is like easy kind of, you know? Mm-hmm. She's like a hot witch. I don't know. We talked about me being Danny, but I'm not ready to.
Danny?
The girl.
Oh, I think that'd be good.
I think I need to be something on my own, but I... Like last year I was a Hogwarts student. I fucking could pull that together any day of the year. I need to try. The only year I've ever been proud of it was when Jake and I were the Jurassic World.
That one was really good.
Chris Pratt and
that whatever. Year I was Cruella DeVille.
Yeah, that was the year we watched Halloween Town.
Yeah.
I still have that red wig. So if you know any characters with like a red bob.
You should be Jennifer Garner from Alias.
I don't
know. She just wears like
that.
Black.
Yeah.
And a red wig. That would be super... Can I do that? I want to do that. That seems easy.
And I've always, like, thought about being a Grey's character, but their costumes are boring. It's like scrubs. I don't want to wear scrubs.
Or we could be, like, Christina and Meredith when
Getting
they go
ripped
to...
out of the wedding dress? Oh, just kidding.
Oh, that's a great idea. No, I was going to say, like, when they go to the Harper Avery Awards, so we get to, like, dress up.
Oh.
Or we can be, like... Meredith has that really pretty olive dress that you can wear, and I can wear like the red dress and be like, this is Christina's wedding day to Owen. People be like, what? This is like just a very specific episode.
They'll have no idea. And like, I also love, like, my other favorite shows, like Shameless, like their outfits are not costumes.
Right.
And I feel like Game of Thrones has done a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to be Daenerys because
everyone
is her. I just feel very passionate about Harry Potter. So I thought maybe I'd take it a step further and be like a unique Harry Potter character. Like, I've always wanted to be Dobby and wear like basically a pillowcase outfit and like get a little ear mask.
What if you be a pumpkin?
Fuck that. My mom made me be a pumpkin for like the first 5 years of my life.
I didn't know this.
It was one of those outfits where like it's a sack and you stuff it with newspaper.
Yeah. I love that. Can I be that? I want to be that this year. you could be. So last year, Annie and her boyfriend Ben and me, we were all the witches from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, that was good.
And so Ben was the Wicked Witch of the, what is that? The South?
Yeah, who was the house.
The house. So he had a house and then he had like striped tights on. You could be a house.
Ben is going to be a house.
You could just be like, I'm just a house.
Well, I could be from Harry Potter.
You could be the house, but you could say that you were Smart House from the Disney Original Channel movie.
Oh, God. And wear my hair in like a bob with red lipstick. That'd be terrifying. I'd rather be the boy that does the dance to bring in the noise, bring down the house. Oh, I love that dance. I've always wanted to be Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century.
That'd be a good one.
And Jake could get his hair, like, do the tips and frosted.
What was his name?
There's a ghost right now trying to tell us.
Oh, my God. It was with a P.
How do you spell Xenon? Xenon. Girl of the 21st Century. Protozoa. I saw that before I saw it. Just Protozoa. So yeah. Ooh, you can rent it on iTunes.
We should be Xenon and Protozoa.
I want to be Xenon and her best friend.
Yeah, Nebulous. Not Neb. Neb. Her name was Neb.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, that would be fun. I just need a pink leggings, a pink turtleneck, a little like jean jacket, and a jean vest. Oh my gosh. You could wear, and we wear pigtails that are like.
Oh my God, we should do this.
You're already committed to it.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen.
Oh my God. This costume would be so much fun. It just requires spandex.
But then it sucks it all in.
Do you remember how like the high tech of that show was them on iPads video chatting with each other?
And now that's like, all we fucking do?
Yeah. So
it's weird.
But Jake just needs a silver suit and to dye his hair and he can be Protozoa.
Boom, boom, zoom. Make my heart go boom, boom. My supernova girl.
He was so hot to me. Like,
he was so hot. And I was so jealous when she like got to go on stage with him.
Oh, yeah.
And they like became friends. Like beyond her like getting to like dance with him, like they became good friends.
He's not as hot as we thought.
Let me see. I still think he's pretty hot.
You do? He's very tan. Oh, then there was like a new protozoa.
It is his voice, though, too. He had a really great accent.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. Look, that was like a new Xenon. They did like a newer remake. That hair is wild.
We'll post it in the show notes.
Yeah, so. Oh, look, here's someone being them for Halloween.
See, that's funny.
Yeah. So anyways, listeners, if you have any good Halloween costumes, please post them in the listener squad or comment on our Instagram because I truly don't think I have to panic.
You know what I would love? I have an idea.
They can choose what we are. Just kidding.
No, everyone send your best Halloween photos to @theoncallroompod and I'm going to make a story of it. Of all of our listeners, of all of our best Halloween costumes.
Oh, that's perfect.
So you have some time to do it, but for Halloween, I'm going to put up a whole bunch of shit.
I want to be like the parents in Hocus Pocus, Danny's parents, who have the like wild Halloween party when they're adults. Like, I want to be that. So, yeah. Just
what? Like, how can we throw a party like that?
I don't know, because I never want to do it at my own house, because I don't feel like...
We do have a friend that's throwing a party this year, but I want it at like an event. Like, it's a ball. Like a fucking event.
Right, like I don't have to host.
Yeah.
There has to be a Halloween event.
There's like the monster ball at Pyramid Scheme, Monroe. It looks dumb.
Okay.
We shouldn't go. But anyway, I didn't really mean to get this deep into
this is going to be a long episode. But basically, just send us your pics on Instagram or even the Facebook page if you don't have Instagram, and then we will compile them and make a story out of it.
Yeah, and this was good talk, though, because
good talk.
The episode has a lot to do with this, so should we probably get into
Let's just get into it.
Take a quick break. All right, this episode.
Speaking of spooky.
Season 4, episode 5.
It's called Haunt
You Every Day.
Haunt You Every Day. Let me go to that wiki page. I liked this one. I'm just
Dude, I did too.
It was a good one, and then I watched the end again with you guys, and I liked it even more.
Yeah.
Do you care if I read the monologue just because it's in front of me? Or do you have it pulled up?
I do not. So okay. Go for it.
The monologue is, there's a reason surgeons learn to wield scalpels. We like to pretend we're hard, cold scientists. We like to pretend we're fearless. But the truth is, we become surgeons because somewhere deep down, we think we can cut away that which haunts us. Weakness, frailty, death, it isn't just surgeons. The truth is, I don't know anyone who isn't haunted by something or someone. And whether we try to slice the pain away with a scalpel or shove it in the back of a closet, our efforts usually fail. So the only way we can clear out the cobwebs is to turn a new page or put an old story to rest. Finally. Finally to rest. And I think this is the week we're maybe putting Izzy, Callie, Love, George Triangle to rest.
Thank God.
Sort of, at least.
First note?
First note is, what is this weird dream sequence?
I said, oh, this one, Halloween, spooky.
Yeah, like, I guess I, like,
I remember this.
I think I blinked for a minute, and then Meredith had blue eyes.
Yeah, and she was like, choose me, pick yeah. me, love me.
Yeah, it
was I weird. Remember, well, and she goes into the morgue. Like, the minute that, ooh, like, music started, I was like, I know what episode this is. And I think this is one of their best Halloween episodes they've ever done. I think, because, you know, like, they try and do, like, different holiday episodes.
Right.
I love this one. I thought it was on point timing with, like, we're going into fall. It just felt good.
And I really liked, too, that their way of making it Halloween wasn't necessarily, like, trick-or-treat. I mean, they did do that a little bit, but, like, it was more, like, the phrase, like, haunt. Like, something haunting you.
Mm-hmm. So, I have a shotgun workup here.
Okay.
We have Phantom Foot.
I wrote Ghost Foot Man.
Yeah, Body Dysmorphic Disorder. We have the heart guy who...
I'll tell you their names. I can pull that
he
up.
He needs a heart transplant, and his daughter His daughter ends up becoming a patient as well.
Yep, and James is the guy with the foot.
James. And then we have the little boy who needs a new set of ears.
Ryan.
And then we have Norman.
Yeah, Norman.
I think that's it, yeah?
Yeah. Why is my note Mare's mom's ashes? Didn't that happen in the episode prior?
No, this is this episode.
Where oh, she takes God. The, okay, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. She Got takes confused. The episodes out of the closet.
Yeah.
She
takes her episodes out of the closet. Yeah, she is just carrying... Oh, yeah, she's dumping them out in the kitchen.
Yeah, which I wrote, that is the most perfect jack-o'-lantern I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Did you... Like, it was, like... perfectly cut. No one can cut a jack-o'-lantern like that. It was bullshit.
Oh, we were kids and we, like, our whole family would do pumpkins. My dad's would always be, like, truly the most basic. Like, I'm laughing because I'm just picturing them. It'd be, like, two triangle eyes and, like, a rectangle mouth. Like, it would just be, like, the dopiest looking pumpkin. My mom's would be, like, very creative. Like, she always did either, like, a badger for Wisconsin or, like, all these different things. Trevor's, she would always make, like, once it was the Cat in the Hat a lot, mm-hmm. where she'd, like, add an accessory. And mine was, like, I always tried to be creative and ended up being, like, oh, wait, you can't cut this shape because then it comes out as a hole. And that, you just...
That was me last year. We did pumpkin carving with my niece and nephew. And we did the thing where you, like, tape the stencil.
Yeah.
And I never, growing up, I never did those. I always did, like, my dad would help me do, like, the triangle eye and, like, maybe some, like, spiky teeth thing.
Yeah.
And so at, 26, it was the first time I tried to do it. It mostly was a hole. Like, because I just, like, all the stuff fell out.
You didn't do the little connecting lines.
Yeah, I was just, like, trying to make, like, a bat with a cat, and it was, like, maybe...
A hole.
Maybe a triangle with a hole. It was so stupid.
That's epic. No, I didn't notice it, but I love how Alex was like, spooky, or what do you say? Happy Halloween or something. When
yeah, yeah.
So.
And Izzy was like icing Rice Krispie treats. Also, why was everyone awake? What time was it?
Also,
like, Meredith was sleeping and then got up and was like, what are you guys doing awake? And they're like, we can't sleep.
Why?
I was like, what time is it? Why are you, like, what's going on?
Did your family always tell you the night before Halloween is, like, what did they call it? Like,
Devil's Night? Yeah.
I always used to be fascinated by the idea of a bunch of young punks running around.
Smashing pumpkins.
Yeah. Like, I didn't like it because my pumpkins did get smashed one year, but also aww. I was, like, interested in, like, not the satanic things, but, like, ooh, spooky.
Yeah, no, it was, my mom does not like Halloween. Okay. She let us, like, participate in it, yeah. but she does not like it at
gotcha.
All. She thinks it's very scary, and I think it's my favorite holiday.
Yeah, that's how it always goes.
Yeah.
If
your family, always. Like, doesn't like it, you're like.
Yeah, I have friends that are in the same, they weren't allowed to, and now it's, like, the big, they go all out.
Mm-hmm.
So, then we jump into the hospital real quick, and Christina's trying to rent Burke's apartment, which is interesting that he, like, where, so he just.
Yeah, did he not, like, sub? Like, what's happening?
Whose name is it in? You
know, which, like, also, Yang took down a free kittens bulletin, and I think that is terrible. It was, like, 10 free kittens, and she looked at it and pulls it down and puts her apartment thing up instead.
Well, yeah.
Little flyer.
And my note was, I don't remember Chief ever living in Burke's place, and then we'll find out he doesn't.
That, yeah.
But I was like, wow, that's fun.
Also, okay, if we're going to stay, can we stay on the Chief train a second?
Yeah, sure.
Wait, when did we find... Was it just this episode that we found out they were getting a divorce? Or did I miss something last episode?
I think it's this one. Because the last one ends with her being pissed at him for making... Like, telling Camille it's okay to...
Right, I remember that. But I feel like it's such a fast transition of all of a sudden. He's like... Because two episodes ago, he was like, we're dating. And then all of a sudden, he's getting
She's
a divorce.
She's very flighty.
Yeah.
Richard. Oh, also, just off the bat, before... Like, Callie... just announces the Izzy.
Kelly is cutthroat.
Yeah, she's like, oh, okay, well, let's just let everyone know.
Good for her, dude.
Yeah, it's her getting the power back a little bit, you know?
Yeah. I thought that was just a brilliant scene. Because, you know, like, Bailey doesn't want to be involved. And everyone's like, oh, we're all, like, all of our questions are going towards Bailey. And she's like, no, just Izzy. And Bailey's like... Why me?
Yeah, Bailey's like, what? Why?
What's going on? She's like, oh, because she's been sleeping with my husband. And, like, Izzy's response is great. And then everyone's just like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
so, oh, it's so good. And then Izzy just leaves.
Yeah,
like,
just runs
the back
away. Yeah. Should we go by patients, maybe?
Sure.
A little bit? Do we want to talk about Ghost Footman?
Yeah, I just remember this really... Well,
yeah,
I remember
sawing his foot
off with, like, when the one dude is like,
yeah.
Where's my chainsaw?
Yeah, first of all, why is your chainsaw with you?
Because the digit was in it. His finger was in the chainsaw.
Oh, okay,
so
okay.
So he
I
brought
missed that
it
part.
With.
And then you just hear the most terrifying sound.
And then Christina's like, what is that noise?
Do you think you could saw off your own foot?
No.
What if you didn't think it was yours?
But maybe. Yeah, because I don't have body dysmorphic disorder,
right.
And I hope I never do. But it's a very real thing. It's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
And so I can imagine if you felt like something wasn't yours. And like she said, like she gave him a little bit of morphine, so.
Yeah. It's like
and he's
20-
like so pleased too. He's like, they're like, we can't. Like, salvage this, we'll have to amputate. He's like, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, it's like 27 hours, but probably actually easier than what 27 hours had it.
Yeah, I still need to see that, but I don't think I can.
I would rather chainsaw off my leg than cut my arm off with a tiny pocket knife.
So that's what he did. He just kept passing out.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
No.
And
that's
what
that whole movie is?
Well, it's a lot of memories.
Like
he has a lot of flashbacks. I think that my will to live isn't that strong, but you also don't know until you're in that situation. And you're also kind of crazy when you're, like, deprived of sleep and food.
Sleep and food and water and all
yeah,
the things.
Yeah, I think, though, that I would just be like, well, I'm just going to fall asleep, I hope. But
I think
dying,
I would probably just kill myself with a knife.
But I think how?
Stab yourself.
You just have... I feel like the pocket knives aren't, like, deep enough.
Well, it's deep enough to cut off your arm.
He had to do, like... a lot of sawing.
He, Well, just saw your chest bone.
I think that's way hard. If you can do that, saw your chest bone off, why not just cut off your arm?
That's true.
I think, and I don't think I'd, I could only, I could slit my own throat like in The Leftovers.
That yeah, I was going to say slit your throat, slit your wrist.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably stuck in a rock. Either way, who knows?
I don't know. I just got really stressed out thinking about all of that.
Sorry.
This is why I don't exercise.
Well, wait, what?
Because he was hiking.
Oh, yeah. So anyways, enough of, basically that guy is there as a physical representation of what the episode is about, which is getting rid of the thing that is haunting you.
Yes, exactly.
So I liked
thought it was good. It was kitschy and
it was Halloween-like.
Yeah, it was very Halloween.
Yeah.
I love though too, like John mentioned something about that guy like at the end of the episode and he was like, where did he go?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's like, his storyline's done. Like they cut his foot off. He was like, but what? Like,
he's fine now.
Yeah, it's like, you don't.
He doesn't need any, like, medical attention.
No, no. No psychological whatever. It's just, like, mm-hmm. Let's move on from that storyline.
Yeah.
It's funny. The more, like, of a Grey's lover you are, I feel like the more accepting you are of storylines like that.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas, like, someone who just kind of is, like, randomly jumping in, they're like, wait, I want more? And you're right. Like, no, that's not the point.
Right.
Move past it. Thank you.
I'm trying to look in. Oh, that's the kid. Okay, so the kid that plays the Ryan, the boy with the ears, He's in 13 Reasons Why. He's the main character.
He's the main, the like teenager.
Yeah, I knew he looked familiar.
He did. Wow.
So that makes me.
He's grown up.
He's grown up and been in the business for so long. He did. I guess the speech impediment must be just for the show then. Or is it because his ears are bad? I shouldn't say it. Is it because maybe his hearing?
Oh, that could be. Yeah.
I bet it probably is. But yeah, he was cute. Had some sad little ears, but...
Yeah.
Should we talk about him and Meredith's little partnership?
Yeah, he's real cheeky with Meredith.
Yeah, he's very wise.
Yeah.
For his young age.
Yeah, are that many children that wise?
Where's his mom?
She's working in the cafeteria, Abby. Way to be insensitive.
Yeah. She works. Okay, I think I missed the word work and thought she was just in the cafeteria.
She's in the cafeteria.
And I was like, why is she sending her son to go ask these questions?
No, she works there. All right. But also, why is he just hanging out in the hospital?
Yeah.
He's pretty young.
Very young. So him and Meredith partner up. They go trick-or-treating for ears. Hilarious. They have to gain all the things.
Mark Sloan can't because all the nurses are against him because he sexually harasses everyone.
Olivia is still, I'm sorry, but like you need to stop sleeping with douchebags. Like
yeah.
Olivia, like you fall into this trap every time. How have you not learned?
Yeah. That's just, actually really true.
Yeah. I actually wrote Olivia is still getting screwed by doctors literally and figuratively.
Literally. Yeah.
I also wrote, okay, wait, what do we stay on? Should we keep talking about your little ear boy, Ryan?
What do you have to say about
him? Just at the end.
Sure.
Well, basically Meredith is walking around with her mother's ashes, which are clearly what is haunting her. And we'll get to that last scene in a minute. But the little boy leads her to that by saying that he had a fish who he sent back to sea. And being in the sea is better than being in your cubby, which will lead to my favorite moment of the episode. Let's save that to the end.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, Norman?
Having a stroke?
Yeah, and then saying that he went through all, whatever, 8 years of medical school because he... Because
his Mary Jo or whatever
Mary Beth told, like, thought that that's where he should be, and now he's going into psych because all of you doctors are children with scalpels and you need therapy.
Which is true.
Yeah, and really funny. I liked how he's like, you're inappropriate sex and you're inappropriate conversations. And, yeah, it was perfect. I'll miss Norman.
Yeah, so, like, he's done, right? That was, like, a 2-3 episode arc.
Right. And the part when he passed out is when Callie and Christina were having a hilarious laughing spree while operating, when they just realized basically how sad their love lives are, I think.
I love when Callie was like, I'm going to be a divorcee. Yeah. I don't know why that just, I was like, that's really funny.
And when Christina's like, I was left at the altar in a wedding dress.
Yeah,
sometimes that's all you can do.
It's just laugh at the fact that shit sucks.
Yeah.
And especially with someone else whose shit sucks just as much. So you're like, oh God, this is really stupid.
Yeah.
Which led them to, she asked Callie to move in.
Right, because she uninvited Chief. Why did she do that again?
Because.
I saw it multiple times.
Yeah, what did he say to her?
The ghosts are definitely yelling at us right now.
Oh,
he hired Han.
That's right.
Yeah. So Christina and Han had like a little tiff, and then Christina kind of like mouthed off to her, and that's when she found out Han is there for.
Yeah, she was like, "You were completely unprofessional and inappropriate," and then she walks up and is like, "Oh, welcome our new head of cardiothoracic surgery." Han's like, "We're gonna have a great time," and I wrote, "I fucking hate Han."
And Christina goes, "You don't get the apartment." yeah, I don't hate Han as much as all of you yet, because I don't really remember why. You know
She's
what I mean?
Just terrible to Christina. And even like watching that, like, yeah, okay, so Christina was probably pretty inappropriate with like her relationship with Burke and Colin Marlowe and
But
calling it out like that is like, that is even more inappropriate.
Yeah.
You can just be like, Christina, like, or like, no, I choose.
Is this when we learn that Han is a lesbian, or did we already know that?
No, Han does not know she is a lesbian yet.
No, because she already said this won't work.
No, she said, I date men. Han says, I date men.
Oh. Oh, you're right. I forgot.
Yeah. I mean, not to say that she doesn't know she's a lesbian. I didn't mean it like in the storyline.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I meant, though. Do we as viewers know that?
No, she says, I date men.
Gotcha. I forgot how that went. And then Izzy, this is just, I'm everywhere. But this leads into that speech where Izzy and Christina are together. Because Izzy got to be in that surgery and not Christina.
Okay, yeah, let's just talk about this a second.
It's fucked up, Izzy. It is not the same as Christina's situation.
No, and I don't understand why...
I'm going to see if it's in here.
Why Izzy has this thing about Christina and Meredith and, like, why Izzy wants Christina's approval. Well, because this all comes from... George and Izzy sit down for lunch together.
Right.
After everyone knows, and then Meredith's like with Christina, like, oh, you guys are together? Like, and they're like, yeah, we are.
And she says, like, sexy love, not sibling love. And I'm like, they think they're sexy love.
And so, yeah, Christina isn't really on board. And to be fair, like, she is super supportive of Meredith. And Meredith didn't know she was cheating, but then she did choose to cheat.
Right,
when,
right.
You know, I do understand that, but I feel like Izzy says something, and I don't know where I wrote it down.
Well, she's just trying to say that what she did is the same as what is Christina and Meredith have done. And her whole thing with Christina dating someone who's an attending, wasn't that the only... issue? And I just think that that's so screwed up.
Oh yeah, that was the part where I thought it was so shitty of Izzy to be like, you know, I think it was really inappropriate of Han to say this, and had she asked my opinion,
I would have stood up.
I would have defended you. It's like, fuck you, Izzy. Like, no, you either you defend someone or you don't.
Right,
like,
right.
And so we talked about this last week that, like, Izzy really has, like, no repercussions for her actions.
Right.
And she made a choice. She had sex with a married man, and now they are choosing to be together. He's leaving his wife. Not everyone is going to support that. But she's running around the hospital pointing out to different people and friends that, like, you don't support me. You don't believe in what I'm doing. Like... not everyone has to believe in that.
Right.
And just for once, can you just own your shit and just like sit with it?
Yeah.
Like stop asking for everyone's approval.
Right. And that I just thought that was so uncalled for. And also like it's okay that some people are closer friends than each other. Like like just because they're all interns
are
together.
Are you speaking to me?
doesn't mean that like they all need to be equally best friends. That's just not how life is. And like Christina and Meredith do have a special bond, but I don't think that they're ever like, well, sometimes they're exclusive, but I don't think it's ever out of a mean place.
Yeah.
Like they just get each other on a different level.
Yeah. And you know, maybe even if it is out of a mean place, like maybe you should stop pining over them and go find a different best friend.
The one that you're dating, like George. One that you have not, have you noticed? They have not kissed.
Yeah. I think that's deliberate writing.
I think so too, which I love it because it, especially noticing it now, I feel like the first time I ever saw it, I didn't notice it, but like, I know for what's coming, it's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The closest they got was when then he pulled away and he's like, I can't.
Yep.
Oh my God.
I know.
I can't wait for those.
So I don't not good things are coming. But I did love the moment where, like, it's the beginning of the episode and they're, like, waiting for an ambulance. And it's George and Izzy. And Izzy's like, she told everyone, blah, blah, blah. And, like, I wrote that, shoot, where did I put it? I just said George is such a sweet guy, and I don't say this very often.
Right, I know, I'm very interested to see.
His, like, quote of, like, he just looked at Izzy and he was like, yeah, it's going to be a long day. But it was very loving and reassuring, but, like, I'm in it too. And it was just a really gentle response, not like, I'm going through this too, Izzy, where I feel like a lot of this buildup of the Callie George thing has been him kind of stressing out to Izzy and being, like, off put, and I'm going through this too, and running around the hospital. And, like, Izzy had this moment where she was panicking. She just got called out by Callie, and she sees George, and he's just like, yeah, it's going to be a really long day. And I was like, oh, what a sweet response.
Like, it was seen and validated.
Yeah.
And then at the end, too, it comes full circle when they sit by each other on the bench, which that's why I'm saying, like, with this storyline, there are moments that it's believable.
Mm-hmm.
And that moment, Izzy's, like, staring off into nothingness, looking upset, and, like, George sits by her, and the look, they look at each other, and it's, like, this relief, and they're like, we made it through today, and he repeats it. And there are moments like that, but then again, I think it's that whole storyline of they're actually best friends.
Right.
They just
got it confused.
I don't
think they're meant to be, like, lovers.
Right. I think I'm finally coming to terms that I just really love them as best friends, and I believe them. And, like, I get that sometimes best friends need to, like, try to see if there's more. They just shouldn't try when the other one's married.
Well, and so I also think this is, I think, a good segue into the Bailey teaching moment. Because Bailey and George sit down on a bench together and they're talking about their day or whatever.
This is like their second bench moment too. The first one was when George failed the intern exam and she didn't get chief resident.
Yeah, so she's having a great teaching moment, and it's very quick that you realize, oh, she's about to reflect on her own marriage. And she does. She dives into it about how she did the pro bono surgery for the ear guy and how she's always the bad guy in her marriage, because even though she helped someone, she wasn't there for Tuck's first Halloween. And there's no, it's black and white. She keeps using the phrase, it's black and white. And there's, I love that because I love that phrase and I live very much in a world of gray. And so black and white, this is good, black and white people, but people who live, like, things are black or they're white, or black and white, that it, when you're not that type of person, it's really difficult to communicate with them. I was going somewhere with this about the George thing. Oh, so she ends up, like, telling George, like, you're not a bad guy. It's not black and white. I was there for all of these things.
Your dad died. You went to Vegas. You came back. We're married.
So this full circle that I just thought of while we were talking about this is you were saying, like, Izzy and George are friends. It's not black and white, and I think George was looking for a reason out of this marriage.
Yeah.
And so, because even, like, okay, so he doesn't obviously want to be with Callie. It's not black and white. His dad died. Like, he chose to get married for whatever reason. But then realizing all of that and then going immediately into another relationship is a terrible idea. But it's like his stepping stone out into it. And I don't think anyone, I mean, we all realize it. They don't realize that yet.
Right, right. I also kind of, like, again, I know we always say Bailey teaching moment. She's kind of teaching herself.
Yeah.
She's, and we learn in that, like, moment that her marriage is not great right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is unfair because it's funny, like, thinking about her storyline, I feel like I can step myself into the shoes of her or her husband and see both sides,
mm-hmm.
like, very easily. And I feel like that is what I really always love about Bailey's storylines is, to me, they're the most, like, they might not be extreme or crazy, but they're the most real and authentic. Mm-hmm. Like, a marriage being upset because one person is working and doing really good in the world, but misses an event. But it's not that they're a bad person. They just couldn't make it happen. But yet that can, like, literally tear apart a marriage. Like, tear apart a marriage. Tear apart a marriage. I think that is, like, why I like this show. Because storylines like that are so, like, authentic. and real. It's not like, oh, I have to saw off my leg and I relate to that. No. But like this little thing is, I can think about how many people who have a kid and who are working and who have relate to that storyline. So
I think it's super relatable. Yeah. I mean, it's relatable in my own life that like John's going back on nights, Bailey works nights. Like that's, we don't have kids or anything, but like that's really hard shit to navigate.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem that hard until you're actually living it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So anyone who watches Bailey experience that and has, like, had a conversation like that with their spouse, they can watch that and be like, yeah, that's exactly what it feels like on, like, her husband's end or on Bailey's end. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I appreciated that scene. And I also love Bailey and George's little connection because, as we all know, Bailey named her child after George. And there's just a lot of, like, I think they have a bond that I really enjoy.
Well, I think, yeah, I think they, as even as the seasons go and as people leave, like...
Yeah, it gets even better.
Yeah.
We also... Let's see, what else is there?
Ava.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's what I was looking for. I wrote, Rebecca's back with a dumb Halloween pickup line. Now they are making out. That was literally my note. He, like, aggressively makes out with her, which, let's remember, last episode he was upset at Izzy for her saying that she slept with George. So to me, like, Karev is, like, latching on to, like, I mean, I do believe he cares for her and has, but...
I don't know. I was just like, shut up, Ava. That was what I wrote. Shut up, Ava. And I was, wrote her like, you didn't come back for me. Why are you, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And her pickup line was, just so everyone is clear, is that she didn't know what to be for Halloween other than Ava.
Which is so bad. Yeah. And then he like makes out with her.
Yeah.
And then they have sex. And then she like leaves again.
And leaves her shirt.
Yeah. And he smells it.
Yeah. It's weird.
And also too, I hated... I'm sorry, I don't have kids. I don't know if this is what you mothers say, when he was like, tell me about, and she's like, I'm in love with my daughter. She like does this sucking thing.
Yeah, and I was like, sucking.
I was like, what? Cool. No one wants to hear about that. Like, you literally just fucked this dude. Like, and then he's like, what about your husband? He's like, he loves my daughter too.
Yeah, it was weird.
Did she say my or our?
Our, I think.
Oh, good.
I just thought... It was just all around weird and inappropriate.
It's like, we know it's going down a bad... The train's going down a bad hill.
I have a question.
Is
season 4 finale the one that I love?
Why you only...
Is it? Okay. So, thank God we only know it lasts like 12 more episodes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, 12 more episodes.
I can't stand her. I can't stand this storyline.
Also, we don't know enough about Karev yet
for it to make sense.
Right, right.
You know, I think, yeah, I think maybe later on.
It's like retrospect that we realize it.
But she's just annoying. Like, make up your goddamn mind.
But I do think it's a distraction for Karev. I think he truly loves Izzy.
I think you're right.
And he's pissed at her, and this is something that's in front of him. Because, yeah. I mean, think
how... she's hot. She's beautiful. Like, she's...
Well, right. And the season ends with, like, him crying, and he tries to make out with Izzy. And yeah. She's like, so, like, I mean, it's getting to that point.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sydney flirting with Derek.
Oh, yeah. Are there real shepherds in your lineage? Okay, she's great comedic relief.
She is so funny. Also, when, like, they're in the very beginning, she's like, Meredith is cleansing. Like, yeah. And just, like, they cut off all their hair. You might want to try that. Like, yeah. Just so chipper about...
And the whole... Okay, well, first of all, Derek got... Mark by telling having that little boy go up to him and saying like dad, which was hilarious and also foreshadowing because that will actually happen to him. But that moment is great, and by getting him back, Mark tells Sydney that Derek is dating and is looking.
Yeah, he's
and
looking.
And then Derek says looking, and he's like, it sounds sexier without the G, which I think is just a great line.
And all these like women are looking at him, but Sydney, like, she just...
She goes for it, though.
Dude, it's
gotta
so
give
good.
Her props.
Yeah.
She's not
she's
shy.
She's like, oh, this is great to be formally introduced, and then like comes back like... But can you imagine if your pickup line was like, so are there actual
shepherds in your lineage?
Yeah, like me, I'm not the bird. Karen.
Oh my God, I just love it.
Yeah.
I kind of love her as the seasons go on. Not like she's not like my favorite
character. She's not on anymore, is she?
No, I don't think so, but she's entertaining.
Oh yeah, I think she's super funny. That means too, dude, so Derek says, like, I need to start dating. That means we got Rose soon.
Fuck Rose.
Dude, I don't like... I forget about Rose. I would say Rose is one of my least favorite characters.
Because she's an obstacle. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, unfortunate because they, like, work out. Sort of, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're, like, easy together.
Yeah.
But it's not... Oh.
Ooh. Yeah, I know. I think I'm going to have
And some- the trial. Like, the...
Yeah. That's all
coming
up.
This is such a good season.
I think season 4 is great. And I can't believe we're almost to season 5 because this is, everyone realized this is a short season.
Yeah, it's really short.
Because of the writers.
And this finale is my goddamn favorite.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm really digging on season 4
right now. Wait, what's happening with Chief in the finale? He's in a scene. Oh, he goes to Adele.
He gets electrocuted?
No.
At some point.
I do think we should make shirts in a few months or years that just say Chief.
Chief. What? Instead of what?
All of the other names of everyone on the show. Or we should have made a shirt that says R.I.P.
Oh, you said a shirt.
Sorry, yeah. A shirt that says R.I.P. with all of the people who have died.
It would be filled. There would be no space left on the shirt.
Oh, so good. I think we should really quickly, before we talk about the ashes, talk about Lexi bonding with Meredith a little bit.
I loved her little chat about, like, how she dug up her mom's cat.
Yeah, they're a little twisted, both of them. They don't know how to handle grief.
Mm-hmm.
And Lexi dug up...
That's a great point. They do not know how to handle grief.
No, Lexi dug up a cat who knows how long that cat had been dead for.
Yeah.
And to bury it... Did she bury it? Did she bring it to the funeral home and put a fucking...
No. She buried... She took it to the cemetery. Her mom was already buried. So she's like, yeah, it was a little creepy walking around with a decomposing cat in the cemetery at night. But then it buried it next to her mom.
Perfect. Yeah. And Meredith is walking around with her freaking...
dead mommy's ashes in a Ziploc bag.
Which, I guess I'm one of those people that, like, I don't think that's as weird. Like, I think, like, she just doesn't know what to do with it. So she's bringing it around with her. I actually don't think that's that weird.
I don't really think it is either. I just don't understand why she didn't keep... Well, I guess it's difficult to carry an urn around.
Yeah.
John mentioned, like, put it in, like, a coffee canister or something. Like, a Ziploc bag feels just a little... just too, a little off. Like,
too vulnerable because you can see inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I personally would like to be cremated.
Me too.
I don't want anyone to see my weird-ass makeup body.
And, well, also, too, like, this earth is fucking dying, and we don't need to be putting more bodies
into it. No, so I would like to be ashes, and I think I'd
become
like
become a tree?
I think I'd just like them spread multiple places.
Yeah, I would
like,
think,
Actually, or just like Michigan is fine with me.
Yeah, I think I would, like, well, and really, a lot of this shit, as we see, like, with Meredith, a lot of this shit is, though, like, for the living.
Oh, yeah, it's not...
You know,
yeah.
And so, like, if I have children and some of them want to keep my ashes on a mantle, cool.
Ooh, I'm going to require Jake to keep... If I die before Jake, he has to wear me in a necklace.
Yeah, some people eat ashes.
Yeah, that's weird.
Then it becomes, like, part of your body. Yeah. Like,
but then
that
don't you just poop it out?
Probably.
I'm sorry. Ooh, this is a fun thought.
Or, like, spread ashes, like... Yeah, like special places like Lake Michigan. I think that's a great place. Like, I'm probably going to spend the rest of my life, like, on Lake Michigan. Why not go out on a boat and throw some
out
there?
I think my version of the afterlife that I would most prefer is, like, the most perfect beach day.
Mm.
And I'm, like, in one of those really comfortable beach chairs. And I have unending LaCroix as well as rosé.
Yeah, and, whichever you prefer in the moment.
And here we go. And I'm reading the Harry Potter series for the first time over and over again. I just
And Harry Potter's laying next to you.
J.K. Rowling is, so I can ask her questions.
Love it.
And honestly, that's it. It's just me and Joe on a blanket, and I'm reading the series for the first time. That's what everyone calls her.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
And perfect beach day. There's no flies. No flies. Actually, all bugs have been just extinguished from the world.
Yeah, mine's the exact same, only Orlando Bloom is laying next to me, and he's naked.
Are you in a bathing suit?
I'm in a bathing suit.
One piece or two piece?
Like a sexy really, one like, piece? Yeah, no, like a polka dot bikini.
Oh, isn't there a song about that?
Yeah.
But, and...
And we're just laughing a lot.
Just so everyone knows, Brie and I watched the Emmys And Jon Snow, whatever his name is, Kit Harington, was on, and she was like, he looks so much like Orlando Bloom. And then she got, like, actually sad that she couldn't marry Orlando Bloom. And I related to that.
No, I was just like, oh, God, like, it hurts.
Like, if you
knowing
think
I will never meet him. It hurts really bad.
Brie, that's how I felt in the Harry Potter Museum, knowing that I'll never be in one. Like, it's over. Like, there's no chance.
Yeah. Like, wait, like, in the Harry Potter
movies. Like, I would have liked
or to. Or, like, that it's, like, real. Because I know no. I felt that way about Lord of the Rings.
Well, that too. No, I want to be in them. Like, I want to be best friends with and had that,
oh,
like,
hang with the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, I want Orlando Bloom.
Yeah.
To be on the beach next
yeah.
to.
Yeah. I hope that that's what your afterlife is.
Oh my God.
Wouldn't that be so incredible? And just never ends. Except that you can sleep whenever you want for as long as you want in the most comfortable
but
bed.
But also time doesn't pass. So like you can wake up and be like, I didn't waste a week, but I slept a week and I feel great. But also, is it sad that time isn't passing? Does it get boring laying next to naked Orlando Bloom? I don't know. What is the afterlife? If you know, email us at beyondcallroom.
Also, I think I'd like if I could change every day what I want my version of it to be.
Yeah.
Like today, like one day I'll be like, I would like to go apple picking with
Orlando Bloom.
David Harbour, who is in Stranger Things. Oh, Peter Dinklage and I. Well, we won't go apple picking.
Oh, no.
We'll do something else together.
Oh, no. You'll lay on a beach naked together.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's always the best.
We're
going
to hike a mountain, actually, and then slay some dragons.
Speaking of Orlando Bloom, a great movie of, like, spreading ashes is Elizabethtown.
I've never seen it.
He spreads his dad's ashes at the end. He, like, drives all around, like, Kirsten Dunst, whatever her character is, Claire, I think. She, like, makes him a map. And they drive all around, and he, like, in some scenes, he's just, like, throwing ashes out the window. And, like, yeah. So that would be a fun little way to, like, have your ashes.
You have to eat a spoonful of my ashes.
I'll do it. Fuck yeah, I will. I'll put it in a capsule.
I was just about to say not in pill form.
Oh. Well,
you just
I will
have
do
to,
that.
Like...
Yeah.
So.
That sounds perfect.
Anyways. Ooh, our server's here.
Thank you, honey.
Just the one, boy.
I actually don't need any. Thank you, though.
Thank you.
Okay, whoa. Speaking of ashes, let's get to the final
scene. Do you
think
if he had heard me say that about Orlando Bloom, he would have actually brought me
he
wine?
He might have. Who knows?
I think he just accepts it. It's just my truth.
I accept that Jake's in love with Jennifer Lawrence.
So does that mean he's in love with me?
Yeah, because you two are similar.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And Anna Kendrick, but none of us are like her. From Pitch Perfect.
Oh, from me, yeah. She's great.
Okay, so I think this is a beautiful scene. Meredith puts her mom down the scrub room. Drink.
Sink.
Yeah. Thing. The first of all, music that's playing, great.
Yeah, who is that?
I will look it up.
While you're looking
Ooh,
it up.
Who you're gonna live for?
It
is Kendall Payne singing I Will Show You Love.
Oh, that's a nice title of a song
yeah.
about that.
Yeah.
What's happening.
And then Chief helps her.
Yeah.
And he wants to do a blessing or something, and she's like, no, she didn't believe in that. And so he says, ashes to ashes.
And I love that, too, that, like, I just actually said, like, 3 minutes ago that, like, all of this is really about the living. But they paid tribute to
Alice.
Like, no, she doesn't want a blessing. She didn't believe in any of that. And this is where I truly feel like she would want to rest.
Yep.
And... I don't think we, like, have any moments of, like, Meredith being haunted by Ellis after this.
No.
I think she really did want to rest, like, where she was truly herself.
Yep.
And so isn't that... Well, that's great. Do you feel like you're truly yourself at the beach?
More of my dad's pool.
Someone else owns it now.
Yes.
She's like, don't mind me. Boring ashes in your pool. This is where she was truly herself. It's fine. The chlorine will just swirl it around.
My ghost comes out of the pool filter. So maybe like a pool that. Well, no, that pool. Definitely that pool.
Okay, I'll do it. If you die before me,
just go at night.
Yeah, of
the
course.
The skimmer will pick it up. The vacuum will get it.
During the day, that's for sure.
But something like that with a boat drink. Pour me into a vodka Gatorade.
I'll pour one out for you.
Pour me into a vodka Gatorade. Mix it up. Drink it.
Yeah, and pee in their pool.
And then pee in the pool. Because I did pee in that pool a lot. Sorry, Dad.
Dude, wait, this is amazing. I'm allergic to vodka, so I'm making an allergic drink.
Actually, it's more like a vodka lemonade with a splash of pineapple.
Oh, I've
my
had
dad
a sip
does.
Of yours, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll do a little drinky drink. I'll have to sit at night and wait till I have to pee.
You have to be swimming then.
And then they'll be like, who are you? I'll be like, it's cool, I'm just peeing in your pool to release these ashes that I just drank. Be like, what? And they'll call the cops. Be like...
But you'll run before
Yeah, it's
then.
Like, it's none of your business.
Actually, the guy across the street is a cop. So just inform him first and he'll be fine with it.
Be like, hey, by the way, I just want to let you know that tomorrow I'm going to pee in this person's pool.
This
Look
sounds
the other way.
Like a flawless plan.
Yeah. But no, that scene was great.
Yeah, and their hands together doing it, and Meredith was
and
like...
And it was like a nice moment between... Because last scene, like, you're not my father, you know?
Yeah.
And they're just coming together, like, putting someone that they both truly, deeply cared for.
Yep.
Even though Meredith and her mom have, like, fucked up shit.
Yeah.
Because it's true. Like, Meredith could not keep her mom in the back of a closet forever.
No. I also think that I'm going to predict that after this episode, her and Lexi start to get a little bit closer.
I think so, probably.
Because I think it's the baggage of moms that, like, ties them together and then also, like...
Yeah.
You know.
I don't really remember when they start getting closer, but I do think that this scene, like, would help propel that forward.
So. I'm also going to predict that Izzy and George are sibling in love.
Yeah, I do not think they are true lovers.
Which, I don't remember how that all goes down. Like, I do that part, but I don't remember what happens afterwards. Like, how, you know, how they move on with their lives. Does George ever have another relationship?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, what a cursed life.
I think they kind of start, like, slowly writing him out a little bit. Like,
that
he's not
sucks.
So...
I didn't realize how short his time on the show was, but he made such an impact to me.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. Okay, well, I don't want to get into that too much, but... should we rate it?
Yeah, my last note, little note. Well, before we should, you should do notes and trivia.
Yeah, I will.
But I just said, I love the ending. I really do.
Same. Ooh, there's some notes.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so the title originated from the song Haunt You Every Day by Weezer. The episode scored 18.17 million viewers. Brooke Smith joins the main cast as Dr. Erica Hahn.
Fuck that.
The nurses form the club Nurses United Against Mark Sloan. I don't know why that's in notes and trivia, but funny. It's odd that Sydney Heron had to introduce herself to Derek since she's a fifth-year general surgery resident, meaning she should have been on his service before during her education.
That's very true.
But maybe she was, like, a student, and, like, since they're arrogant, they tend to forget.
Maybe.
Also, we forgot to mention that Lexi shows up wearing a costume in the first scene.
Oh, yeah.
Because Christina played a joke on her.
Yeah.
So sad.
Any other ones?
Nope, that's it. Cool. Okay, so I'm gonna rate this one high.
Do it.
I'm just feeling generous, and the wine has hit me, so I'm going to rate it an 8.
That's really funny, because I was going to rate it a 9.
Oh, shit. Okay, then I don't feel bad about my rating. Yeah, it was a great episode.
I think it might be one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, you like
I like the Halloween theme.
Yeah.
And I just, like, love... I forgot to say, I had GGBs at the end when Meredith was putting her mom's ashes down the drain, and Chan made some, like, joke about pouring bleach down it to, like, sterilize it. And I was like, can you not? Like, I had, like, tears in my eyes.
Yeah, I did too, and I watched it this morning by myself.
Yeah. So, I can't believe I rated that a 9. I'll probably regret that
tomorrow. Don't regret it.
But I really, really liked it. So, don't forget, if you have a funny Halloween costume...
Yeah.
Send it, DM it to us at the On Call Room Pod, or put it in the Facebook group.
Yeah, do it.
And then we'll do a little montage. It will be funny.
I can't wait to see all the photos. I will submit one as well.
Perfect. Okay, well, I will
wanna call time of death.
Game of death is I almost said hashtag 2255.